Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 3 of Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings. I'm your host, Dalton, alongside my co-host, Bruce.
What's going on, guys?
Thank you guys for joining us again. It's a few days late. Our time schedules have not really matched up, but we are getting it out to you guys now. Starting off this show, we're going to mention our social medias since we didn't do it until the end of last show. So, as always, go like our Facebook page, Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings. Go
join the group.
Yeah, join the group. It's an open group. Or it's a closed group. We'll accept you. And we pretty much accept everybody.
As long as you look like a real person.
Right. Go follow our Instagram. It just got going.
We're going to start posting on that probably
this weekend.
Yeah, as soon as qualifying and all that starts happening.
It's at Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings, all one word. And then our Twitter is at @bent_hurt. Make sure you go follow all that. Our podcast is available on 5 places where podcasts are available. Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcast, and Radio Public. So however you guys are listening, that is where it's available. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell everybody. Go like and follow our pages. The more followers we get, the more content we will post. We got to get better at that anyway.
Yeah, a lot better.
We slack a little bit, but it's hard when you work all day. You know, it's hard to do. So, with all that being said, how was your weekend and your beginning of the week? Was it good?
It's been solid so far. I mean, not a lot's happened, really.
Been solid. It's been hot.
It's been very hot.
It's been hot like here humid. In Tennessee. That's where we're located, is Tennessee. We will not disclose our other location, but we are in the state of Tennessee. Excuse me. The races this weekend, they were in Kentucky.
Unfortunately,
there was a triple header this weekend. Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup Series all raced. The Truck Series, you had a first-time winner in Tyler Akram.
Who I had never heard of until...
I think I pronounced his name right. I hope I did.
Akram. I think it's Akram.
Is it Akram?
I think so.
Might be. Sorry if he listens to this and I butchered your name.
That would be awesome if he listened to this.
Yes, it would be.
I'm just kidding. I've known about you your whole career. Follow me on Twitter.
What's that name?
I was talking about a personal, but you can follow the podcast that name.
Yeah,
too.
Well, nobody knows what your at name is.
At Bruce Truitt.
All right, so he wins the truck race. The Xfinity race, Cole Custer wins. And the cup race, Kurt Busch wins.
Redemption after last week.
Man, it's funny how that works, isn't it? It's crazy. If you go from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs, that's just how racing goes, man. It's crazy how stuff like that happens, and it seems to happen all the time.
And, I mean, what a coincidence to beat your brother, of all people, too.
I mean, yeah, you got to think about that family. I mean, Kyle Busch gets all the praise and stuff, but Kurt Busch is not no slouch.
No, I mean, he's a champion as well.
And, you know. A lot of people forget that he's won championships and races with 4 different teams.
I think it's 4 now. Almost won with Furniture Row.
You know, he's won a lot of races, and he's just as talented as anybody out there. And it was good to see him win. You know, yeah. I used to not like either Busch brothers, but the more they go along, I just seem to like them. I don't know what it is.
They both improve their anger a lot.
They have. Lot. Kurt Busch got rid of his spy girlfriend.
And oh, yeah.
Now he's a whole lot assassin. But I guess we'll dive right into the truck race. I know you said you were busy Friday night or Thursday night. You didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see any of it, just what was posted on Twitter.
It was a decent race. It was better than the Xfinity race. Probably not as good as the Cup race. The extra groove that Kentucky, the PJ1, put down, I think improved racing for all 3 series this past weekend. But there was a few things in the truck race. I mean, we got to touch on the whole Spencer Boyd and Natalie Decker thing that happened.
Team Boyd.
I mean.
Come on, man.
Come on, woman. It was definitely Spencer's fault, what caused the whole event. He thought he was clear, I guess, and tried to, or he cleared himself and he was not clear and clipped her front fender and put himself head on into the wall. But
I understand her frustration. I mean, she wrecks just about every week, so right. I understand. And then for that to not be her fault,
she's had a lot of terrible luck, we'll put it that way. you know, it's
So being removed in the heat of, out of the heat of the moment, I can understand where she's
being
coming from.
Mad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all remember Danica and Denny after the one of the was it yeah. the Bud shootout or the duel race?
Yeah, it was definitely Daytona.
And her just pounding him in the chest. And, yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm all for women in NASCAR. That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever, if you can get there. I mean, I think we all agree Haley Deegan's probably one of the most talented young drivers coming up.
Yeah, she'll be the first woman.
Happy birthday, by the way, Haley Deegan. Once we release this, it will be your birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck with all the Twitter mentions she's about to get.
Right. But I understand you sitting there yelling at him, and it was his fault. What makes you grab the man's hat?
Yeah, don't touch Superman's cape.
And throw it on the ground, man. Like, I couldn't believe it when she done that. I laughed so hard.
And Boyd's follow-up tweets after the race were just hilarious.
Oh, his tweet about the hat being released from the Infield Care Center was spot on. That's why if you do not follow Spencer Boyd, give him a follow because he is solid on Twitter. And he's just a – I think he's a good dude. I pull for him.
Very
he's
good
got,
dude.
He's got a lot of sponsorship, and that's great. And it was unfortunate that happened. But I think Natalie needs to work on her temper a little bit. Yeah, she kind of acted like a drama queen. I mean,
it's not a good look.
No, it's not. Especially not grabbing a man's hat off his head. And Spencer did the right thing. I mean,
what else is he going to do?
Right.
Though? I mean,
you know, if he does anything else, he's in jail, and rightfully so. And, you know, just stand there and take it and
make memes about it and t-shirts.
The hat didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
What did the hat do?
So he's probably glad it happened, actually.
Oh, it turned him into the good guy.
Yeah.
It was crazy, man. So that was like the main storyline coming out of the truck race. The Brandon Jones Grant Enfinger incident, which those were probably the two best trucks there. That's kind of the only reason this incident gets brought up. It was coming to the end of stage two, I believe. And Enfinger drove a little bit over his head, which I don't really think Grant's all that good anyway.
Yeah, I'm not
I think
a big
he's kind of like Matt Crafton. He's going to be there his whole career.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
If he has sponsorship to be there his whole career. But why are you racing that hard in the stage two? Like, I understand you want the stage win and that, but you took the best or the second best truck out of the race by a bonehead move you made. It looked like he got a little loose, yada, yada, whatever. You can say he just overdrove the corner and didn't stick.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, because I understand wanting to get all the stage points you can get, but you got to think bigger picture.
And right, he could have won the race.
But, I mean, it's probably a driver's mentality to just, you know, get every little bit you can.
In today's time, for sure.
Yeah, so you can't fault
for
him
sure.
there.
For sure, but the problem I had with it is Brandon Jones was way faster that whole round before that restart. And,
And you would think out of a driver who's got a little bit of experience to, if the guy's faster, let him go for now earlier in the race.
Right.
I mean, and pull that move later.
I understand a driver's mentality is to win everything. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson hasn't won 7 championships for being stupid, you know.
Maybe he should be more aggressive now, though, Jimmy.
I don't know. You seen what happened when he tried to be aggressive in the cup race, he spun out. So, we'll touch on that later. The cup race is coming up.
We still love you, Jimmy.
I wish old 7-time would get back in victory lane. I just hope he never gets the 93 wins. Just put that on there right now. But that was kind of the big incident that happened. Brandon Jones is pretty pissed off about it, understandably. That man has no luck.
Who's he running for now?
Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity
Series. That's right.
The 19 car.
Because he came from RCR, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He swapped with, who was it? Matt Tiff, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you remembered that.
Who randomly got a full-time Cup Series ride out of
nowhere. Sponsorship, baby. Sponsorship dollars. But that was the main issue besides the Boyd-Decker thing that happened. Grant Enfinger driving over his head. And I guess that happens every now and then. But after that, it was kind of a snoozer. Brett Moffitt had a big lead. He was running away with it, gambled on fuel, came up a couple laps short, which gives the win to Tyler Ankrum.
Another surprise winner in like the last...
First-time winner.
It's a great trend.
These first-time winners are getting...
It's just popping off every week.
Which is good for the sport. I mean, that's good for that race team. That was their first win as a race team, and, you know, that's awesome. But, you know, what's that kid going to do with that win in the playoffs is the question. Does that win give them some momentum, and he starts running?
Does he qualify for the playoffs, or is he
kind of, they explained that when the year started, he was not 18, so he could not run the whole schedule. When he turned 18, they gave him a pass.
So he has enough points to...
Where if he's in the top 20, however they do it in the truck series, I think it's the top 20 still, he qualifies for the playoffs. So, yes, he's in the playoffs unless, what, four more people win before him, I guess.
Which is likely.
It's possible. Neither Kyle Busch truck with Todd Gilliland and Harrison Burton have won yet, which is kind of surprising. I think that shows that, you know, I was never really a big Todd Gilliland fan or a Harrison Burton fan for that matter.
No.
He lost it on a restart in the truck race just by himself on the bottom. He spun it out. But, you know, truck race was kind of, you know, everybody likes the truck series. I thought it was, I watched it from the drop of the green flag until it ended. It was decent, but it wasn't nothing to ride home about. And, you know, Brett Moffitt gambles, comes up short. If he wouldn't have run out of fuel, he was going to win by 4 or 5 seconds.
It's the price you pay.
But, hey, congratulations to Tyler Ankrum on the win. And, you know, hopefully that propels his career and he becomes a superstar, because Lord knows NASCAR is missing some star power.
Oh, a lot.
So that's kind of how the truck race went on Thursday night. Friday night was the Xfinity race, and let me just tell you, it was not fun to watch.
No.
Cracking one open?
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
We're going to need it.
Yeah, to talk about this Xfinity race, we definitely need it.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway is the Xfinity race was a snooze fest, man. I watched it.
It's a typical Kentucky race.
I watched it from the drop of the green flag to the end. And I don't know how I didn't fall asleep.
I caught it about the time that Custer took the lead, which was like, what, 80?
80 to go. About 80 to go, somewhere around there.
That's about when I tuned in.
Back to Brandon Jones having bad luck. This man probably had the fastest car. Equal with Christopher Bell. Anyway, he was leading the race and blows up.
It happens.
No, you don't see blown motors anymore.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you see problems, you know, in the lead. And
that man just has the worst luck I think I've ever seen in my life. He can't buy a finish.
No.
And it makes him look bad because he's running in Joe Gibbs equipment. I don't think the kid's that bad at driving. But you're leading the race, pull it away, and you start blowing up. And that thing blew up within 10 laps. I mean, it went dry on a cylinder and then just poof.
I hate to see it.
I mean, it's just, I don't, he can't buy a good finish, man. It's crazy. I don't, you know, it's hard to believe, really.
No, but Custer gets his fifth, which he's just kind of exploded this year. Just,
look, really. Them other drivers at SHR.
He's the only driver with a win in SHR. Period.
This is true, and I mean, you gotta.
That puts the hot seat on probably Suarez and Almirola.
And boy, I mean, I think it puts them on the hot seat besides Harvick.
Yeah, I think Harvick's secure in his rod, but yeah, if I'm Stewart or Gene Haas, I would look at it.
Oh, dude, that kid's gonna have to get moved up. It's like Christopher Bell.
I mean,
Bell can't stay in the Xfinity series much longer. He's gonna just hit the Joe Gibbs racing. And I don't blame him.
I mean, I'm a big Suarez guy, mainly because, you know, he took Carl Edwards' ride, and I was a big Carl Edwards fan. So I'm kind of, you know, I like him just by default. But he's not my favorite, but I like him. But he's, I mean, and he salvaged the top 10. I mean, he started on the pole, but he had some trouble and salvaged the top 10.
He's ran a whole lot better this year. I'll give him that.
He's ran better. I mean, but if you got Custer who's getting hot, then, I mean, it's going to have to force your hand, just like you mentioned with Gibbs, with Bell coming up. Somebody's going to have to get the boot.
Right, and who's it going to be?
It's not going to be Kyle Busch.
It's not going to be Denny as long as FedEx is there.
It's not going to be Truex.
Shouting out my employer.
I mean, so that just leaves Eric Jones. I mean, Eric Jones can drive. I mean, he hasn't had the success that everybody thought he would have, but he's kind of the odd man out.
Right, like, I mean, what?
And, I mean, Bell will probably go to, like, a LeVon Family Racing maybe for a year, but you can't, like you said, you can't.
My opinion on that. You take Eric Jones, move him to the Levine.
That's what I would do, too.
And
I
put Christopher Bell in 20.
Because, like you said, you can't leave Bell on the back burner for so long, or he's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, he's going
to
leave.
A team like Kendricks would love to have him in the 48 when Jimmy retires.
Right. Say Jimmy runs this year, next year bounces out, and see Bell staying in the Cup Series, and Mr. Hendrick comes calling. What you going to do if you see Bell?
Oh, yeah, you got to take it.
You going to take that 48 ride.
You got to take it.
I mean, that's all you got to do. You know, that's just what you got to do.
But I don't see Gibbs waiting that long. I mean, They can't.
No, absolutely not. And, be interesting to see what he does in that situation.
But, I mean, Eric Jones wouldn't have trouble finding a ride, I don't think.
I don't know.
But it boils down to sponsorship.
Yeah, it's all about the sponsorship dollars, you know. I think Bubba Wallace is better than when he runs every week. But
it amazes me how Bubba Wallace can't find sponsorship.
In today's world, yes.
It just amazes me.
He's such a likable dude. He's a great personality.
I mean, not to bring race and politics into it, but if you're a company sponsoring a minority in a sport that's predominantly white, I mean, just think of the good publicity that'll give you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
From like a marketing standpoint, that just seems like a good idea.
And we're two Caucasian men from the South.
Yeah.
So,
it just seems like a good idea to invest in him.
It makes a whole lot of sense, and, you know, that blows my mind,
Same as Suarez. But Suarez is in better equipment with better sponsors, so that's a...
Yeah, Suarez has sponsorship. Which Aries is a... Aren't they a Mexican-based company?
I'm not sure. I'm not too sure on that.
We'll have to fact-check that one. Don't quote me. Like Cole Custer falling off his car in Victory Lane, doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, I'm a big WWE guy, so I love the celebration. But yeah, you gotta stick the landing.
I thought it was the funniest thing. I mean, one of the better celebrations. It's better than throwing a watermelon on the ground.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best celebration in NASCAR right now.
Oh, you don't like the bow?
I'm a big backflip guy. So if Hemric wins,
Does do the backflip. He won at Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville. Shout them out. It's our local track. NASCAR needs to come back to Fairgrounds Speedway Nashville, but he did win there in the All-American 400.
Speaking of Nashville Fairgrounds, we got a special coming out soon.
Yes, we'll be doing a special over them soon. We've got a buddy of ours that has lived that life of running every week with Willie Allen Racing in a pro and super late model.
Shout out Aikman Pollard.
He will be our guest. We'll be talking nothing but the Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville, not to be confused with Nashville Super Speedway, which is in Lebanon.
Which a lot of people not from Tennessee get it confused
with. That is not the track we're talking about. Look up Fairgrounds Speedway Nashville if you do not know what we're talking about. It's a little short track.
Dale Jr. swears by it.
In Nashville, it's a little bit over half a mile. Some of the best racing you'll ever see. But back to Hemric. He won the All-American 400, backflipped after he won that race.
Yeah, so until he wins a race in the Cup, which he's been running a whole lot better recently, then Custer has the best celebration in NASCAR.
I do like it, but you've got to stick the landing. It's about like the first time Carl did a backflip, almost didn't make it.
Yeah, he stumbled. Atlanta. He stumbled a couple times.
Is that 05?
Yeah, 05.
05 was his first career win. Jeff Gordon's worst year up to date was 2005.
One of my first vivid NASCAR memories was Carl winning in Atlanta.
My first memory is Earnhardt hitting the wall. And that's crazy. I don't know how that sticks with me. I was 5 years old.
I think I was like two.
I was 5 years old, man. And I can remember watching that like it was yesterday. And then I don't remember anything until Jeff Gordon's bump and run on Rusty at Bristol. And then I kind of start picking stuff up in 2002. But that's my first NASCAR memory is watching that wreck. I don't remember anything else about the race, but I guess that was just a big moment in time. And that's always stuck with me.
Yeah, the reason I remember the Carl Edwards win is, I mean, my family was big Sterling Marlin fans, being from the same city, Columbia, Tennessee. Shout out. But I never really related with anybody until Carl Edwards. And I was like, whoa, this dude does a backflip. That's cool.
That's awesome.
And I've been a fan ever since.
You know, me and Sterling share a birthday.
Really?
We have the same birthday.
That's cool.
June 30th.
Shout out Sterling Marlin, too. That's a,
yes, he was supposed to be back in the car last weekend at Nashville. They had some mechanical issues, so he did not get to run. He just had brain surgery for
it's like brain stimulation surgery or something.
For a Parkinson's disease. Yeah. And
it amazes me how he can still drive a car with that. It's just insane.
And he gets it, too. For anybody that knows about Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, you go watch Sterling Marlin run, and, man, he kicks their butts. He really does. He kicks their ass. And He just has bad luck up there sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But
with what did he say on Facebook? Never was, never has been, or something.
Oh, that was just racing that was talking about where his car got wrecked a couple weekends ago. Yeah. Fairground Speedway's had two fights and two races, so.
We'll probably talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into all that in the special episode, but that will be coming out probably this weekend
Do you notice how we were talking about Xfinity and just completely.
You know why? Because Xfinity race was terrible.
We just completely got sidetracked. Cole Custer
wins fifth time this year.
That's really all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that happened. Christopher Bell dominates the first half of the race. Brandon Jones takes the lead, blows up. Cole Custer leads like the last 85 laps. Boom. Done. Xfinity race. That's it.
Recap.
That's all that happened. But the cut race on Saturday night.
A little bit better.
Man, best Kentucky race they've ever had.
I think so, too.
Best Kentucky race hands down they've ever had.
But don't confuse that with this package is the answer to everything.
Oh, we'll dive into the package in a minute. The PJ1, I want to give a kudos to Kentucky Speedway. The PJ1 and the Tire Dragon and all that they did leading up to this race, they did it on the outside line, and it produced better racing.
A lot better racing.
Last year, they put it on the bottom. Why they put it on the preferred groove, I don't know. But they deserve credit for getting that track prepared for three NASCAR races, and in every race, the top line had speed, and they deserve some credit for that.
But I'm going to bring up a negative. Since you showed the positives, I'll talk negative. The crowd was dead, like even deader than it normally is.
It was pretty bad.
And then if you're NASCAR looking at that, then you've really got to give in to the fact that we want more short tracks. I think.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think that supports that opinion because Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky hasn't been a good race either, so that plays a factor. But it was just deader than normal.
Yeah, I agree.
Looked like a qualifying practice session or like an Xfinity race or truck race.
Warning, if there's any background noise that starts, it's lightning really bad around us right now. So it may start raining. We're going to power through it, but if there's any background noise on this, we apologize. We're just now getting started, kind of low budget. We don't have all this high-tech equipment. So
until we get microphones and
hopefully the rain holds off and we can get through this. It's fitting for it to be a NASCAR podcast, and we're trying to get the rain to hold off. But I just wanted to throw that in there. But, yes, the crowd was a little lackluster.
Wait, I think every time there's a lightning strike, we should stop the podcast for 30 minutes and just have dead air.
Hey, I can promise you that ain't happening.
We should have dead air.
I can promise minutes. You that's not happening. We're not NBC. But the PJ1 was good. The PJ1 was really good. I thought for this weekend's events, and I just wanted to give Kentucky Speedway a round of applause for that.
Anything interesting happened in stage one? Chase Elliott had some issues.
Hey, we ain't gonna talk about it. Chase Elliott ran like ass. We ain't gonna talk about it.
Right there with you, Blaney.
We ain't gonna talk about it. He ran like ass. The Dunited Mountain Dew number 9 Chevrolet did not run very good. He had some speed. But every time he'd get to 11th or something, Gustafson, I guess, was too scared to take two tires or no tires. And he always took four tires. I don't understand. But, hey, we're going to New Hampshire. I'm not super excited about it. He's ran good there before. But
same with Blaney, except I don't think he has ran good there before. So,
you know, it'll be what it'll be. But the stage one winner was Kurt Busch.
Which, I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. I completely forgot Kurt Busch won it.
Yes, he won stage one. It was some pretty good racing in stage one, I thought. And then your stage two winner was Kyle Busch.
How ironic is that? Foreshadowing the end.
So that's how all that went. Not a whole lot happened right there in the middle. Long green runs.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Just a lot of green flag pit stops.
But then we get on into stage number 3. And I want to talk about a restart that happened. It was Clint Bowyer and William Byron on the front row.
Yeah, no, which normally I'd say maybe we're just sounding like idiots and not seeing something. But Kyle Busch even shares our opinion that Almirola pushed Byron. And Bowyer, was it Bowyer?
Bowyer was
brake checked and slowed down so Byron could jump it. So it's just a culmination of both of those things that I don't know. NASCAR probably shouldn't have penalized Byron, and Byron probably would have gone on to win the race. You never know. Oh, I mean, probably. he had a good car right then and there.
Man, you know, Byron may have jumped it a little bit, but he had the 10 car up his ass.
Just pushing him.
Pushing as hard as he can. And then whoever was behind Almirola was pushing.
I think it was Logano, and then it was Kyle Busch. I think that's how they lined up.
And Byron come out of that pass-through penalty and pulled away from the leaders. NASCAR, and I understand they have rules in place for a reason, yada, yada.
I've seen drivers jump the restart way more obvious than that and not get called.
Logano jumped the restart in Michigan.
I mean, it shows some consistency. I mean, if they were consistent with this rule and they called what they called Saturday night, I wouldn't like it, but I'd be okay with it.
Right.
I'd understand why, but it's just inconsistency.
Well, here's my thing. Why do we have a restart box?
Yeah, we talked about this during the race when it happened. I mean, have like a marker.
You can have one line.
To show when to go. Not a box, just one marker. And once you hit that marker, you go. There's no box.
Or just let the flagman. What is the flagman's job if he's not doing anything but starting the race? That's a good point.
As soon as the flagman waves the flag, go.
And if you don't go, pay attention a little bit better. That's my opinion about it. I'm going to get fired up because I was pulling for Byron. I like that 24 car.
I mean, I was pulling for him, and I'm not even a Chevy Hendrick guy.
Why? The man was being pushed.
I mean, and to have Kyle Busch even call it out. Kyle Busch has no reason to call that out at all, and he even called it out.
Right.
I mean, that should tell you all you need to know about it.
And if Kyle Busch is calling it out, then that's
I mean, he's not a Toyota driver. There's no reason for him to stick up for Byron like he did. That should tell you all you need to know, that NASCAR was in the wrong there.
But NASCAR's going to NASCAR, and that was their that was their call. And I feel bad for Byron because I really do think he had a really good fast car. And man, that sucks. But after that happened, they had a round of green flag pit stops. Logano took the lead and was driving away. For all of you guys that love this package so much, Logano was pulling away with 10 laps to go. Was going to win by 3 to 4 seconds. Yeah. I don't know what the difference between 3 to 4 seconds is and 8 to 10.
Yeah, I already had given up with the fact that Logano was going to win.
Thank you, Bubba Wallace, for blowing a tire. The best thing you've done all year.
The hero we deserve.
And that got us to the final restart. And I will give this package credit for one thing for sure. The restarts are solid. Absolutely insane.
Solid. I feel like the package is better at night, too.
Oh, without a doubt. But the restarts,
they're crazy.
Insane.
How nobody wrecked this beyond me. It was intense.
Because I got so much damn downforce they can't wreck. My point about this, though, is good restarts do not equal good racing.
No, which NASCAR will tell you that they'll take everybody going, oh, that was an amazing finish, to, oh, the whole race was phenomenal.
This race was better than any Kentucky race they've ever had.
But don't confuse that with it being amazing and great. And.
But in my opinion, it wasn't
where it could be.
Great. I still think they need more horsepower. You can keep the air ducts, and like we talked about, we're not engineers, and we're not going to pound this every episode about this package, and, you know, it's here. It's here to stay, apparently. We're just going to have to, if you're a NASCAR fan, you're going to have to like it.
Yeah. It's a fun drinking game every Sunday. Yeah. Take a shot every time they say package.
Right. Or they're, you know, you don't have to like it, but I love NASCAR. I'm going to watch. But great restarts do not equal great racing or a great race. I just want to put that out there. But that final restart, I was on the edge of my seat. We watched it together. I was standing up yelling at the TV, and my driver was in the fence coming to the white flag and finished 15th. So, Kurt Busch got up on the wheel Him and Kyle, that was one of the best battles I've seen in a long, long time.
A long time.
Probably the best battle I've seen since Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Atlanta 2011.
Oh, yeah, the rain shortened.
It was on a Monday.
Yeah.
They were slipping and sliding around. It was the wind Gordon got, the tide, Daryl Waltrip.
I mean, as far as finishes, I mean, the slide job last year at Chicago was fun.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Carl Edwards Harvick at Phoenix was close. But those are just the ones that come to mind recently.
But that finish was good. And I am happy for Kurt Busch. Happy for Chevrolet getting 3 wins in a row.
Big win for Ganassi.
Ganassi. Stuart Haas Racing is still winless, and another team gets a W.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. We'll get into that a little bit later on a new segment we have.
I don't know if that's a testament to Kurt Busch just being that good or McMurray just being that bad. As that one car is just... It's been
on.
It's been top 10 car every week.
Okay, you really think Jamie McMurray's all that good?
Well, no, but...
Okay. You answered your own question. There you go, buddy. But...
Man.
What was you going to say? Sorry.
I mean, McMurray doesn't matter, so it doesn't matter.
No, he's gone. But, yeah, 3 wins in a row for Chevrolet, 2 of them at mile and a halfs. And one of them, as we all know, was Justin Haley. But has Chevrolet finally hit their stride? Do you think Chevy's figuring it out? Do you think they got it figured out?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I've seen that today, the 3 wins in a row, and technically it wouldn't have been 3 wins in a row if Bubba Wallace doesn't spin out, yada, yada, Logano wins.
Oh, I don't count that. I mean, whatever happens, happens. Just like with Justin Haley. And, I mean, I'm not a Chevrolet guy, but, I mean... Whatever happens, happens. You can't throw out little outliers like that and say, what if?
Right.
I mean, there's no what ifs in racing. So.
I'm going to crack one open real quick.
I mean, there's no what ifs. I think if they show up to New Hampshire and are competitive and even win the thing, I think you have to say.
I'm not really counting New Hampshire. It's not that. It's not a mile and a half. It's more of a – it's a mile-long racetrack that drives like a short track.
It's one of those in between.
Right. But, no, it's good for Chevrolet getting 3 wins in a row, 2 of them being on mile and a half. So maybe they've got their stuff figured out. Who knows? I don't know. They could and they could not. I don't care unless that number 9 car is in victory lane. That's what I mean. I still pull for Chevrolets. But that is – it's mind-boggling. Another team wins before Stuart Haas, man. I said, in our new segment later, we'll touch more on that. But
or even before Harvick. I mean,
it still just blows my mind.
Think about that. I mean, we're in July and Harvick. July's almost over and Harvick hasn't won yet. That's insane.
I think he gets it done this weekend.
He's got a really good shot. He won it last year, didn't he?
He won the fall race. Not the fall race. They only raced there once now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
They go to Vegas now. But, you know, I thought all in all it was the best Kentucky race there's been. Without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, it is what it is. And congratulations to Kurt Busch on that. He went out and got it. And, you know, that's all that matters. Really.
Honestly, the grand scheme of things. That, as solid as he's been running all year, that win, that could be some momentum. He could start ripping off some more here in the next couple of weeks, honestly.
Oh, no doubt.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on a tear.
No doubt about it. I mean, them Busch brothers, they get hot. They get hot.
Yeah, this probably won't be the last battle we have between them this year.
I don't think so either. No, I really don't.
And, I mean, props to Kyle Busch. He kept it clean, and they just raced hard, and it was a good finish.
It was. It was indeed. That kind of recaps the weekend from Thursday night to Saturday night. I wish we could have gotten this out sooner. Yeah. Just our schedules didn't match up.
We'll be on it a lot more.
But I want to try this new segment that we've got that we both kind of want to incorporate in this. It's called Throttle Time. It's a 3-question little series here. For example, if you throw out a topic and I say on time or I'm on throttle, I'm for it. I back up what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I say I'm off the throttle, I'm against it.
Disagree.
You know, we'll kind of talk about our reasons why. So our first topic, this package at night, are you on or off throttle about it?
I'm kind of like, is there like a medium ground? Because
are you feathering it?
At night, it's
Are you feathering
the throttle? At night, it's a whole lot better than it is during the day. That's all I can really say about that without getting into, you know, mechanical stuff that I know nothing about.
We're not engineers.
But just from what I see on the track, it looks a lot better at night.
So are you on or off throttle? You're on throttle?
I think I'm on.
I am as well.
Especially with the restarts.
I am on throttle with this package at night. And it's well documented. I do not like this package. I want it to be driver skill. I hate this wide open stuff. But this package at night, I am so on throttle for it.
Speaking of driver skill, that just shows how good Kyle Busch is.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he still dominates.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But that's off topic.
For sure. Topic number two. Kyle and Kurt Busch racing so clean for the win. Are you on throttle or off throttle for that?
Well, I mean, I got brothers myself, so I probably wouldn't have raced them as clean as they did. I mean, I wouldn't have wrecked them or dumped them, but I believe I probably would have got a little more physical. So I think I'm off the throttle.
Off the throttle for that one, as am I.
Yeah.
This is crazy. We never agree on nothing.
I know.
It's kind of why I wanted to put this little thing in here. But I'm off throttle as well, man. What is NASCAR missing? Rivalries. They are missing rivalries.
Yeah. I mean, especially with two brothers. I mean, that'd be a perfect rivalry.
Dude. You remember what happened to All-Star Racing, what, 07?
Oh, yeah.
They wrecked each other, didn't talk at Thanksgiving.
And that's back when they really had their anger issues.
Right.
And dude. They're both growing up. And
I am so off throttle for this topic because, listen, if Kyle Busch takes out Kurt Busch, we're going to have a fight in victory lane.
A brotherly fight.
Kurt doesn't come out and said if he would have wrecked me, I'd have fought him. Dude. That's on SportsCenter.
Barstool picks it up. Like they did the Newman and Boyer fight.
Every
fight, in quotations.
Yeah, that was just Boyer punching like a little stuffed animal. But every news outlet picks that up, and I so wish they wouldn't have raced so clean.
That's yeah. I mean, not even necessarily dumping, but just race a little. I mean, they raced hard, but
oh, they made contact and they raced hard. Yeah. But I'm just talking about they raced each other clean. They gave each other room when it mattered. And you know, I just wish they would.
I wouldn't have showed the same, you know, empathy towards my brothers.
Right.
If I'm racing them for the win.
Yeah, I agree. So topic number three, the final one, is Stuart Haas Racing being winless? Is that bad for NASCAR? Sorry, everybody. We got kind of cut off. I had a little technical difficulties there.
Got cut off multiple times. Yeah, trying to record this part.
That was crazy. Sorry about that. That was very unprofessional.
Hopefully, we can plug this in smoothly.
But we'll finish up our last topic we were talking about. Were you on throttle, off throttle with Stuart Haas Racing being winless so far?
I'm feathering it because I think it's bad for the sport for guys like Harvick not winning, and Suarez probably not winning because it's probably not good for the sport that the minority's struggling or not struggling but not winning, and then Almirola, it kind of does nothing either way.
And no, Boyer's just funny.
Yeah, Boyer would be great.
But I'm off top on it. I think Stuart Haas needs to win to help, you know.
I mean, yeah, they definitely need a win.
I think they need a win, and it just makes the sport better. You know, when Hendrick Penske, Stuart Haas,
when you're
Roush.
At one point.
When your top teams are winning RCR, man, the sport's fun.
It's booming. I mean, it's more competitive.
And that's what I'm glad Chevrolet hit their stride. I mean, I'm a Chevrolet guy, but even you're not, but when Chevrolet's down, I mean that sucks. You know, that just sucks.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll admit that because I mean a lot of your fans are Chevrolet fans, so I mean,
yeah, I mean, and you just want to beat the best of the best.
Yeah.
And if Chevrolet's down, and Ryan Blaney goes and wins the race, are you beating? I mean, you're technically beating the best of the best. You know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't complain. I wouldn't complain.
But thank you guys for listening. Sorry it got interrupted. Hopefully throttle time works out good. You know, that kind of sucks. It got cut off right there at the end.
Yeah,
I mean, with the technical difficulties we were having. But thank you guys so much for listening. Share it with your friends. Tell everybody about it. Remember, we're available on 5 different podcast places: Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Radio Public. Still working on iTunes.
Yeah,
they're still previewing.
Yeah, iTunes is kind of, I don't know. We're gonna have to work on it.
It's funky. But remember, we'll have a special episode coming out about the Nashville Fairgrounds very soon with special guest Aikman Pollard, who lived it. He worked for Willie Allen Racing and wore shocks, was at a short track every weekend, but their bread and butter was the Fairground Speedway in Nashville. Again, not to be confused with the Super Speedway in Lebanon. But thank you guys so much for listening. Follow all the social medias. Follow and like them. Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings on Facebook. At Bent Fenders and Hurt Feelings on Instagram, all one word. And at Bent_Hurt on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Give us feedback. Let us know how we're doing.
Right.
How much we suck. How much we're good.
How much we didn't suck. Yeah. But I'm Dalton. I'm going to sign off now. This is my co-host, Bruce.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you guys for listening.